Welcome back to the football podcast from We Play Strong. In this episode, we talk about weight and body image in the world of football. We want to discuss the pressures footballers face to lose weight, achieve a low body fat percentage, and eating disorders. Football isn't always pretty. The photography we share is often one good pick out of what we perceive to be 10 bad images. We're told to be a certain body fat, lift a certain weight, and eat a certain diet. You do it to be the best, of course. But what does this do to you mentally, day to day, and over time? Today we have two very special guests joining us. Tottenham defender Molly Bartrip and Reading midfielder Chloe Peplow. Welcome both and thanks for joining us. How are you doing, Molly?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
And Chloe, how are you?
Yeah, no, exactly the same. So excited to get going.
Today we're going to speak about something totally different, a very important subject. And for those of you who don't know, in 2018, Molly, you chose to bravely speak out about overcoming anorexia at the age of 14. And today, for the first time, Chloe, you will also share your story. Because Chloe, there was a time in your career where you were feeling on top of the world, and then suddenly it all changed. Can you talk us through that point?
I'd been away for the World Cup. It was under 20s World Cup. We were away in France and I think I was away for about 6 weeks. And we got the bronze medal in the end. And I think I possibly, for me, that was one of the best moments of my career so far and loved every second of it. But upon return, I think I returned to my club and I think that was the first time for me where I really experienced anything in terms of my body dysmorphia and eating as there was just a few comments made in terms of me being partially overweight and wanting to be a little bit quicker and a little bit more agile. And I think for me, that was where it all kicked off.
Chloe, can you take us a little bit to like, what would your day look like? So what was your training diet like? What comment would you get on a daily or weekly base? But maybe let's just start like, how does that look like for you?
One of the initial things I struggled with is upon arrival every day, we would always weigh ourselves. But we would weigh ourselves pre and post training. So we'd weigh after breakfast and then we'd train and we'd weigh after. Personally, I struggled with that, especially when I had the comments upon arounding to lose weight, because my day then became triggered upon if I'd lost weight, perhaps I'd have a bit of a better day. But if I hadn't lost weight, then I'd really restrict myself. So I think a lot of it for me was we'd be in and I'd be training. But in terms of upon like eating and that, we'd have breakfast and lunch at club, but I would always eat as little as possible, if I was perfectly honest, because for me, being educated in the matter, as soon as I stopped eating or was eating less, I could see that I was losing weight. And for me, the commenting about losing weight, I think it was just triggered by that. And like I said, I'd come into club and I'd weigh myself, and if I was lighter than the previous day, then for me that was an achievement, and in reality it's not an achievement. And I think I saw my weight go down very quickly, and I think it was very visible. But yeah, for me, I just found the hard that my whole day then became based around the number on the scales, when in reality, the scales can be very unforgiving and it's not the true factor of how healthy you are.
Especially in sport, some people are better stronger, some people are better with a little bit less weight. You know, I don't know, a more athletic player might be a little bit less weight than somebody that might be physically stronger, that's able to knock players off the ball more. So I think it's really hard to kind of say you need to lose weight, and to be weighing every morning would mess with my head, let alone anybody else's. And yes, I have a past with it, but for me, I even struggle to get on the scales now. I don't feel comfortable with it, because as long as I'm happy in my own body, that's all that matters in my head. So yeah, I don't obviously agree with that. And that must have been hard for you, Chloe, because, you know, in your head, you probably didn't necessarily know what you was going through at the time as well. So actually weighing yourself every day would have probably made you 10 times worse.
I found it really difficult because we ate at club, and I think my only way of losing weight in my head was making sure that I didn't eat. So I was more than aware that everyone around me was watching me. And I think I remember going up one time to get my plate of food, and I had a passing comment just saying, oh, I've heard that you're scared of carbohydrates. And I think for something so small and such a small comment, in reality, again, the impact that that would have on me as a player, I think is rather big, because I think there's this big fixation around how carbs are bad for you. And in reality, as athletes, I think we all know that we need them. And I think, again, it's just little uneducated comments like that that can make such a difference to a female, a male, a player, or any person in general. Like I said, I just think whoever it was that commented it probably didn't think twice about it. But again, for me, it's, again, a long-lasting comment that stays in my head, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And what do you think when you hear this from Chloe?
It makes me upset, to be fair, because I don't think, you know, people should be treated like that way. I've had experience with the same, you know, somebody saying, like, you last year you was quite big. You know, we all want to look our best, especially when you weigh it in with being an athlete and the fact that we have to go out and perform on the pitches every day. It's quite hard to take that information. And obviously for Chloe, she wanted to then kind of absorb that information to make her a better player, which I completely respect. And at that time, you probably thought it was the best thing for you. Little did you know what was actually going through your head at the time. And I think sometimes, you know, looking back for me, it makes me quite upset, because that's not how football should be. That's not how sport should be. If you feel fit and you feel good, that's the way you should be playing. And it's, I'm a kind of a strong believer in that aspect, I think. And sometimes it's not even necessarily aimed in a malicious way. It's just a passing comment that people don't actually realise how much that can affect something. And I think that's another thing in it as well, with not just eating disorders, but mental health in general. It's like the forbidden subject and people don't know how to talk about it. So sometimes it comes across in such a wrong way that they didn't probably mean it like that and to that effect. But actually, I've gone home and I might be upset about it and it might affect me for the next 4 days.
Would you get like any comments, like if you would stand on the scale? Are you standing there alone, or what comments would you get?
Yeah, definitely there would be comments. But I think, like Mal said, I think the area is very uneducated and I think people don't perhaps know what to say. And I think there would be the odd comment in terms of, oh, you look really good, or you look well. And for me, that was perhaps probably something that I didn't need to hear, because I'd get those positive comments as, I don't know, they might think they were doing well by me. But for me to hear that I'm actually looking good, in my head, I'm like, well, I'm losing weight, so obviously that's the reason that I'm looking well. So people didn't really know how to approach the situation in terms of the club environment I was in, because I think you could see how much weight I was losing and what I had lost, because we had to record our weight on the scales. But perhaps they perceived that as a good thing, when in reality, I think they didn't really know what that was doing inside my head.
Did you get advice from the club or from the people that you worked with?
From the club, I wouldn't necessarily say advice in terms of how to lose weight and how to perhaps feel physically better. That's where, again, I think it's quite uneducated in the matter. Like, there was nothing structured, like, perhaps if you did this or added this to your diet, like, that might help you. I think one thing the club were good at is in terms of one of my close friends at the club approached me and said, like, look, I think it's time that you'll get help. And then I would say that the club then put me in touch with the PFA, and then I went on to a counsellor, and I had a counsellor for about 16 months, so quite a long time. And initially for me, I would say now, I found it really hard accepting the fact that I was ill. Like Mal said, it's also perceived as being a weakness, when in reality, now 3 years on down the line, I think it's more of a strength. And if I hadn't spoke about it, I think, like I said, I wouldn't be in the position I was in now and still being able to play. And personally, my counsellor was the biggest saviour for me, in terms of, I was very reluctant at the start to listen. I was diagnosed with anorexia, and all the comments at which I made, and if I wasn't eating, obviously you'd then be put into like hospital and stuff. And I think for me, I was very much so, it was in one ear and out the other for me at the start, just because I didn't want to listen. And I think when I perceive someone as being anorexic, rightly or wrongly so, I would perceive someone as being stick thin, like literally visibly stick thin. And for me, I never would visualise myself as that. I'm a tall girl, like I think I've always been a strong girl, and I think that's been part of my game. And again, like, my physicality has always been an attribute for me, and I think I had no lasting effect in terms of, I was still training. I don't know now, looking back on it, how I was still training, because I was still able to do what I love doing in football. Like, football for me was always my release. So when I was on the pitch, it wasn't, I was thinking about it, but as soon as I left it, it was my issue. And it took a certain moment for me to actually realise, we'd been away from the team environment and people could physically had seen that I'd lost weight. I hadn't eaten properly for about 3 months prior to it, and all I remember is I'd gone up, I felt a bit funny before kickoff, and I'd gone up for a header and I headed the ball, and then I think post that I just sat down and, like, I fell over and I don't remember anything after that. And for me, it was my mum and my granddad were at that game, and I think they've been my two biggest rocks throughout the whole situation. And prior to that, I could never have openly spoke about it to them, but I got took to the doctors and the hospital after that. And I think for me, that was the real turning point that perhaps, like, I need to sort myself out and it needs to change. Otherwise, it's going to have serious, long-lasting effects on my health. And I think, like I said, for me, my mum being there and what it did for my mum and how upset that made my family, again, I think that was a massive turning point for me. I'd also started to realise effects on my health, like little things we don't talk about, like my menstrual cycle had stopped. In reality, there was lots of things, like the days I couldn't remember, I wasn't sleeping at night, and there was so much more to it than just perhaps my eating. That was just the trigger in my head that you're actually not okay and it actually needs to be sorted, because prior to that, yeah, I wasn't eating, but yeah, I was still playing football and that's all I ever wanted to do. And after that, I think I quickly began to realise that I wasn't physically going to be able to play.
I mean, Chloe, you've been through some tough times, mate, and you credit to yourself for doing it, you know, and getting through it. And like, I know from my own experience, it's not easy, and sometimes you feel like you're not getting anywhere, even with counselling. I know sometimes you probably felt like, what is the point in this? I'm not getting anywhere, like nothing's entering my brain. And then for me personally, I even had the thought of, I actually thought I looked fine in the mirror. I looked at myself and thought I was absolutely fine. I look back at photos now and go, what was I thinking? Because I look dreadful. But at that time, my brain and the anorexia was telling me a completely different thing. I had really bad like issues with my menstrual cycle. So I didn't start till I was 18 years old. And still to this day have issues of it. So I've had the long lasting effects that nobody wants. And it's not easy to go through that side of it. But, you know, I'm fit and strong now, and that's the most important thing. But at that time, I didn't even see an out. I didn't really know where I was going. And for me to get better, the whole point of it was to play football and be a professional footballer. And I don't think if I actually had that thought in my head, I wouldn't have made it and I wouldn't have been able to do it. So even for me, sometimes I need to take a back seat and realise what has happened to me, and to kind of sometimes give myself a pat on the back and go like, you've done it, Molly, you're all right. For me, if I'm on the pitch, I'm ready to play. So in that respect, sometimes mental health for me and eating disorders, but also, you know, anxiety and depression has kind of affected me in a way that I didn't expect by me opening out about it. But for me personally, it's the best thing I've ever done, because I don't have any more weight on my shoulders. You know, I'm a free woman. I can do what I want and I can say what I want. And I have a strong opinion on the subject, and it's only to help others. It's not to get more attention on myself, because that's not the point of it. It's just to make sure that nobody goes through what I went through, because it's not nice. And I'm sure that's obviously why you're talking out as well, Chloe, and also for the weight off your shoulders too. And yeah, nothing but respect for you opening out as well.
You previously said that football, it was the trigger, but it also was your cure. Would you mind talking us through that?
Obviously, you know, I went that way to anorexia because of football. But it was also the thing that, you know, I've wanted to be a professional footballer since I was like, you know, such a young girl and could really even walk. So for me to be able to go and do that was my ultimate goal. And I knew at the time, probably took me a little bit of time to actually realise what I was doing to myself. But I knew I wasn't ever going to allow myself to do that if I was continuing to, you know, not eat and do the wrong things and harm myself and stuff like that. It was never going to allow me to go and reach my end goal. And it took me a long time to process that. I've seen so many photos of my future teammates that I was supposed to play with the following year, and all I could think was, I am going to get battered by them because I'm not physically strong enough to compete. Like, I'm not ready. And that was quite tough to accept at the time, because I just wanted to go and play football. I was 14, 15 years old. All I always wanted to do is just go to the local park and play football. I was lucky because, probably being so young, although I was obviously at such a low weight, I was still able to exercise and compete. I don't know how, if I'm honest, because I barely ate a thing every day, and it was very much like tiny amounts of food if I did eat. And obviously, yes, I did take myself away from football at the point that, you know, I knew I wasn't going to help anybody else and I wasn't going to help myself at the time, and I did take myself away. I got to a point that my parents took me to the hospital and I got put on, you know, the bed to be tube fed. Which was probably the realisation for me. I think looking back, that was probably the turning point where I thought, nah, I need to get out of this. And I actually remember screaming at the nurses saying, get off me, please leave me alone, because I didn't want to do it and it scared the life out of me. And by no means was it, you know, a click of the fingers and it was done. It was very much a step by step. Can I eat a little bit more tomorrow and not kind of then the next day not eat enough? And I just needed to balance out the whole eating process. And it actually took me probably 2-3 years to gain weight because I was so low. And nobody at the time would necessarily have like even batted an eyelid, I don't think, because I've always been, you know, quite a normal size. I'm not the tallest person in the world either. So nobody really thought necessarily much on the subject as much as I did, you know, looking from a picture before and after. I was not okay and I'd lost a lot of weight. Nobody knew much on the subject, especially being so young. And obviously being my main goal was to be a professional footballer, I had to see so many different psychologists and counsellors. I didn't obviously work with the counsellors very well because they never related it to football, and I needed it to be related to football because that was the only thing that was going to keep me going. So I ended up seeing somebody that was football based, and it was the best thing I ever did because, you know, at the end of the day, my aim since I was a kid was to play and to be offered that first professional contract. And I'm lucky to be sat here today, you know, still doing that. And I don't think I'll ever forget that till, you know, when I'm old and got kids, hopefully, like I'll never forget that moment. And I genuinely believe what I've been through has shaped me as a person. And it's took me a long time to realise who I am, if I'm honest. And, you know, my friends would say that as well. Like, I'm very much a people pleaser and it's taken me a long time to accept who I am as a person. So in that stage as well, I've gone through a lot in probably the last 8 years. It's been like an absolute roller coaster of a journey, to be honest. And to be sat here, to know that I'm fine and I'm in the best shape of my life, physically, mentally, in every aspect, is like an absolute relief, because I wake up every day being happy and I know I haven't done that recently, you know, and it's been tough, but...
No, and yeah. So inspiring as well. So thank you, Molly, because you're here now, Chloe, bravely talking to us about your story. How have things changed for you now?
It's been a very long process, and I think it's something that perhaps I think for me will never go away in terms of the thoughts and feelings. I managed to get myself back into a place where I'm at a healthy weight and I'm able to play and I'm injury free, and it doesn't control my life now, whereas previously it did. Like, I think I got to a stage where perhaps I went then to calorie counting and I then went to weighing myself. And I think you can kind of get stuck in a rut of going around in circles, when perhaps I think I just needed to come away from all of that, take a step back and be like, you just need to kind of do what makes you happy. And if you're happy at this weight, then in reality, you'll be appreciated for who you are and not get so fixated on the other side of it. Every day I still have the thought process behind it. Like, I think I'll have my good days and I'll have my bad days, and I'll have certain days where I'll eat more than others. But I think one thing you just have to take into consideration is it's not easy. And I think it does take a long time to get over, and it does take a lot of work, but you've got to be willing to do that, because I've had my days similar to mine where I think, like, Jesus, like, it's going to have to be something that I live with for the rest of my life. But in reality, it's something that you like learn to deal with. Now my way of coping now is like, I don't get on the scales, like I don't weigh myself, because for me now I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm performing and playing the best football that I've ever played, and in reality for me that's all that matters, regardless of what is on the scales. And my eating is amazing now, and I don't calorie count, I don't think too much of it. But although I'm fully recovered from it and it took a long while, I think it's always something that I will like continue to live with for the rest of my life.
Chloe, I think you're doing an amazing job. And even I think by speaking out, this is also a process of self-healing. I mean, I really strongly believe in the pain that we have in our bodies. And then I'm talking about the mental pain and all of these things that we have to deal with in life that we might be ashamed of, or which is a big taboo. This conversation is a process of that self-healing, and step by step I believe that you will get there, because Molly, you also said it took you 6 years and I think it's something that you might sometimes still think about, but and I think by just speaking about it, you deal with it. So Chloe, I just just want to say you're doing a really good job. How do you currently track in comparison to how you previously tracked? You also said, like, it's about how I feel. How do you monitor that?
Yeah, so personally, I'd say for me, like, what I need to do was to come away from the scales, because I think when we are weighing every morning and every evening or post-session and pre-session, I think I just become obsessed with that number. And I think you were able to see other people's weights, and then you were comparing your weight to someone else's weight, when I think in reality, I think it's not looked upon how every female is naturally such a different shape, and also how the scales can fluctuate. Like, I would get on the scales after not having eaten all day, and one day I'd have put on weight, but I didn't eat anything yesterday. And I think I became so fixated on that number on the scales, but in reality, with zero education behind it, that for me, my main thing was I just needed to come away from weighing. So I think I didn't weigh myself for about 18 months. And I think that was probably one of the hardest things that I found, because I've gone from weighing myself 2 to 3 times a day to waking up one morning knowing there's a set of scales, but not going to weigh myself. And I think I'd quite often have a fight with myself in my head, thinking, go and weigh yourself, like, don't weigh yourself, like, no, go and weigh yourself. And I think that was the hardest thing to overcome for me, because I was in such a habit of my day being based around that, that moving away from that was really hard. So for me, like I said, now I don't weigh myself, and I think I've probably weighed myself once since going through what I went through. And I think I had gone back up to a weight which I needed to be, and I had to be. And initially getting on the scales and seeing that I had put that weight back on, I think was very hard, because I'd gone from wanting to lose all this weight to going back to what I was previously. But like I said, in reality, I knew that that's what needed to be done. And I think, like Mole said, I think football's always been my saving grace, and like, I did it for football, because at the time I thought that was the right thing to do for me to be able to be in the position to continue to be a professional footballer. But in reality, like, little did I know what long-lasting effect it would have. But like I said, for me now, if someone asks me to go on the scales, I will go on the scales, but I don't really take a look at them, because like I said, I just think they fluctuate so much, everyone's different, like, everyone's body's different, and I just think they can be quite misreading sometimes.
Oh yeah, definitely. I agree. I agree with that. And do you think that there's a healthier way to track or to monitor weight and food intake that is equally respectful of the player's thoughts and feelings? I mean, can we track and monitor in a more positive way?
What I've learned is I personally go off how I feel now, how I feel when I'm performing on the pitch, and other things like how I'm sleeping, how I feel mentally in, like, day-to-day life. I think it's so much more than what is just on the scales. And like I said, I think I've had that shift in mindset of perhaps not looking at what I weigh. And I think, don't get me wrong, I think when you're an athlete, there's got to be, I don't know, you have to consume a certain amount, and obviously what you eat will have a massive impact on how you're performing on the pitch. But for me, I've more so gone off the fact now, if I'm feeling well and I'm performing, regardless of what number is on that scales, and I've stayed fit for the whole season, and like I said, my menstrual cycle has come back, I go more off the physical side of it, of how I'm actually feeling, rather than a fixated number or anything like that.
I don't step on the scales anymore. And, you know, sometimes at club you do get asked to step on the scales. And I think sometimes I have kicked up a little bit of a fuss because I don't agree with it. But, you know, sometimes they actually need your weight for certain, you know, I don't know, some research and stuff. But for me personally, I try to not go on the scales. I don't like reading them. It's pretty much a fear of mine, if I'm honest. Similar to Chloe in the fact that I don't think it's necessarily relevant to your performance and how you know, actually go onto the pitch. It doesn't actually change depending on your weight. Some people actually, as I said previously, perform better being a little bit more built and stronger and working harder in the gym. For us as athletes, we just need to take away the whole how you look thing, because at that time, as long as we can perform on the pitch, that's the most important thing. So I think it just needs to be thought about more when people, staff, whoever it is, ask somebody to get on scales, because it's sometimes not easier for others. And, you know, yes, me and Chloe have spoken up about it now, but some people haven't. So how do you know how that's going to go home and affect somebody else? And that's my thought process in the whole thing, is you don't know how you're affecting somebody. So just be careful with how you put it.
Do you think it also could be a lack of, like, trained nutritionists or trained professional support?
The support around nutrition, like, personally, sometimes I think obviously female football financially doesn't have the funding that like the male side would have, but I know hands down that every male side would have a professional nutritionist that was working with their team. And I think it's getting better now, and I think most teams will have access or support to a nutritionist, but I think that is something that could be mandatory. Like I said, I've had clubs that I've been at that haven't had nutritionists, and you'll go and get nutrition advice off the sports scientist, when in reality their profession is sports science and not in nutrition. So I just think personally, I think there needs to be more effort around that.
I think it's good to have more experience on the subject. I think, you know, players themselves should be able to decide if they want to listen and kind of understand what a nutritionist might want to say. I think some people really, you know, absorb that kind of stuff, and they're so like ritual in what they eat, and that's fine for players like that. For me, I was way too ritual prior to all of this. So for me, it's just, you know, what I put on the plate is what I want to put on the plate. And as long as I'm ready and I'm firing for Sunday, I don't care. So, you know, we all, pretty much every club every year will have some sort of presentation on nutrition. It's pretty obvious. And, you know, I think we have our own license to, you know, agree with what is being said or not agree. And that's just how we believe as individuals and as athletes and as women. Because, you know, everybody has different eating habits. And that's what I think people need to respect. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the things we put on our plate aren't unhealthy. Like, they're good. They're the good things that we need to get to be fueling for Sunday or for training or whatever it happens to be. So therefore, I think it's also a bit of kind of trust in the fact that, you know, we are athletes and we are professionals. So we know what we need to do for our bodies. Unless somebody doesn't, therefore, I think it's totally right that they go and talk to somebody about it and maybe get that extra advice or, you know, knowledge on the subject or what foods I should eat or shouldn't eat at this time, etc. So therefore, I think it's a really good, you know, resource to have, and every club should have it in that respect. It's just everyone's different.
So what one piece of advice, Chloe, would you give to clubs and associations on how they can better work with their players on this topic?
Yeah, I think it should be mandatory that you have a nutritionist working within a professional football club, because like I said, I understand the financial side of it, but every male club will have it. And I think, like I said, it's such a massive part, nutrition, in being a professional athlete. And in reality, if you've got your eating right, your performances on the pitch will be more consistent or better. And I think that's just something that all female clubs should look to invest in. And I think, like I said, I think it's getting a lot better now. And I know Reading work really closely with a nutritionist. And I think we've had a meeting with her. I had a meeting with her in the first week. And like I said, I also think it's mindset change as well, more so about your fuel in your body and not aspects of how my body actually looks, how much I'm on the scales. I think it's just that mindset shift as well.
I think, you know, all clubs should have someone. That's not just, you know, nutritionist. I think that obviously comes with a psychologist as well, because we actually see a lot that there's not many psychologists around. And sometimes it might not even necessarily be the issue with food. It might be, you know, a little bit bigger than that. So therefore, like, I think there needs to be both psychologists and nutritionists. We are athletes. We need to fuel our bodies for the weekend. And that is pretty much put it in short. But at the end of the day, if we can get the best advice, the best knowledge on the subject, we will only be better as individuals and as athletes. So very similar to Chloe in that respect. Just making sure that, you know, people and staff understand that everybody is different. You know, that's what kind of makes the world so cool, doesn't it? So there's so many different people in the world. There's so many different organisations that we can go to. There's so many different charities that we can go to. So therefore, we just need to all come together as one to actually help everybody in their own unique way. And sometimes it ends up being putting people against each other, and that's not the point. We want to help each other, and especially in a team environment with football, you're all there to play on Sunday to win a game. Right? That's the be all and end all. That is the truth. And that's the fact of the matter. So therefore, can we get everybody on the same wavelength and everybody happy in themselves, nutritionally, fitness wise, mentally, everything? If we can all do that, and every club has that tick box in every area, then we should have a more competitive league and better athletes.
Also, can you give like one piece of advice to teammates and friends on how to best approach a teammate or friend that may need help?
This is like a really hard subject, because I think for me, if I hadn't have been through my eating disorder, I perhaps wouldn't know how to approach someone that I might have thought was struggling. Like, I think, again, this is a situation which needs more work on. I think, like Mol said, it's a really touchy subject, and you don't know how your comment may affect someone else. And I think it's really hard to go to someone and perhaps say, like, are you okay? Like, is your eating okay? And stuff like that. Because, like I said, it's a very personal matter. But again, for me, I think my friend, best friend at the time when I was at my club, in reality, saved me. And I just think it's, everyone has people in their environments that they're closer to, they will trust more. And I think it's just perhaps, I think it is, for me, for my friend, it was obvious that I was struggling. But I don't necessarily think it's always obvious. So I think it was quite easy for her to be like, look, you need to go and get help. But I think it's, like I said, you have people in the environment which you are closer to. And if you do notice that someone might be struggling, I think it's just like the little words of advice, like even are you actually okay? And just initialising that conversation could actually really help in the long run. But like I said, I do think it's a hard subject, because it's, like I said, you don't know how your comment may affect someone else.
Yeah, there's not one solution for this, and not one piece of advice that you could give. Having a close eye on your teammate, on your friends, and just letting them know that you're there for them. Molly, what would you say to anyone listening who may be struggling with this?
Speak out. It's pretty simple in that respect. It's just be open, and I know it's hard. Actually, the hardest part is being honest with yourself and saying, I think I've got something wrong with me. But speaking out is the most important thing, and talking about it actually helps you so much. And people at the time think it's the worst thing for you, but actually going and seeking help and getting advice is only going to make you better. So for me, if you are struggling, just make sure you have your support network around you, make sure you've got your good people, and then just speak. Even if sometimes people don't understand, which happens a lot, you know, it's not exactly the most knowledgeable subject in the entire world. So therefore, some people might not necessarily know what to even reply to you. But if you can speak out, it will help you in the long run. And if you honestly think you're not well, get to your doctors as soon as possible, because they are, you know, they are the medics. They are the right people to go to. They are the experience of the whole situation. And therefore, you know, it's the best thing to do.
Okay, let's move on to body image and match photography, because we've all been there, scrolling through the match images to find a picture that you like whilst discarding the majority because of your perceived flaws. Chloe, have you done this with the match photography?
Yeah, no, definitely. So me personally, I'd say when I was diagnosed with anorexia, I always, also alongside that, I had body dysmorphia, and she explained that to me as obviously I perceive myself very differently to what you might perceive me. And for me, I think post my eating disorder, I've always really struggled with photography and pictures. And I think that's hard for people to understand. Like, someone might just be like, get in the picture. Why don't you want to get in the picture? But in reality, for me, it's them. But then I see that picture and I look at it and I pick out everything that I don't like about it. And I think, again, that's something for me that I do struggle with. And like you said previously, I think in the women's game as well, you might get, what, 3 or 4 pictures to pick from. And I think as well, like, there's certain little things that I think some females still have men's fitted football kit. And I know it's not a big thing, but in reality, when you're wearing men's fitted football kit and you're a female and you've got hips, there's certain angles that you look at and you think, like, Jesus, like, do I really look like that? And it's just little things that go, like, so undermined. But in reality, like, if I see a picture and I'm like, oh my God, like, do I actually look like that? But in reality, you don't. But yeah, I think, like I said, I openly admit that I don't like pictures to this day, and I'll be sat there scrolling and editing them, and I'm not afraid to admit that, because for me, that's something that I have struggled with. And I think also many people do struggle with, and I think it's the world of social media as well, like all the editing you can do to them and that now as well. And in reality, who really looks good in a football picture? But yeah, no, I would say that's an area that I think I do struggle with personally anyway.
Molly, have you ever refrained from posting a match photo because of what people would think or comment?
Yeah, it's not necessarily even what other people think. It's what I think. And that was that's the thing for me, is actually I don't really care what other people think of the photo. It was more that I looked at it and thought, well, I look big in that. And still to this day, I do that. So quite similar to Chloe. It's not for me necessarily that I don't like to get in photos. I don't mind a photo that's just top half up. and that's the kind of way I am. I'm like, yeah, just it's fine. Just get this top half. But, you know, in football kits, we don't look great at all, do we? So, you know, for me, I've gone through so many photos I have edited, and I can say exactly the same for Chloe in that way. I have. And, you know, some people might have even recognised it. Some people might not have. Who knows? But social media is the devil sometimes, and it can really affect people. I try to make sure that I don't become too obsessive with it, because I do love it. And there is so many good things with social media. It does so many amazing things for people, but it also does the opposite. So yeah, in that respect, I've 100% edited photos. I've 1,000,000% not posted pictures, because I don't like what I look like.
It's another hate-love relationship that we just discovered. Wow, seriously, this was just incredibly inspiring. I truly have learned so much. And thanks again for opening up. I mean, I really appreciate that. And not only me, you're helping so many others, and just creating more awareness about this topic, because there's still so much work that needs to be done. So thank you so much for sharing your stories and pushing for change, because that's what you're doing. How are you feeling? Is it a relief also to do this conversation?
What I've learned now is, like, you have to speak about it and the way in which you feel, and I wouldn't have dealt with it if I hadn't have spoke about it. Obviously, I think I've been nervous about the perception about how it might be perceived, that it's who I am and it's part of me now, and it's not an issue for me now, like, I'm okay and I deal with it. So I think if anything, it was just maybe, how are they going to perceive it? Like, is it gonna have any long-lasting effect on me? Because I'd never want that to happen, because, like I said, in reality, it doesn't make you any different.
Chloe, Molly, thank you so much for coming onto the Football Podcast. I think it's clear that more work needs to be done to educate clubs and athletes on fostering a better sense of self-worth. There are high expectations, tremendous amount of pressure to be perfect, to perform, to win, and to be the best. But we are humans, and it's okay to not be perfect. Use of words are very important. You have stretched it many, many times in this podcast. And instead of being told to lose weight, let's change the conversation to gaining strength, gaining confidence, gaining power. Thank you, Chloe and Molly, for being with us.
Thank you.